But if you are a Harry Potter fan, don't fret. They have also included in the books their own take on that, called Larry Spotter.
Oh, wow.
Well met, adventurers. My name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
So for this week's episode, we have Dot back with us. Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. I'm glad to be back.
We are glad to have you back.
Yeah.
Talking more games.
Yes.
More games. More games. I'm down
but
for that.
System.
Yeah.
System, your help this
fool.
Week.
Who doesn't
we
want
to
talk
you
games?
To teach us. Teach us about a new system.
Yes. I pondered very hard on which system because I think as we learned last week, I have
you
a problem.
You know like 700 of them?
I have a problem.
Oh, yeah. We're just going to have you on all the time now, and you can just continuously teach us new systems.
Lee and I were talking about that. We're just going to have to have you back every month to teach us some new system every month. Because
that's
you
how
can
I'm quickly I'm having to learn them.
Teach us all of them.
Yeah. Just all of them.
Yep.
The weirder, the better. It'd be great.
Yeah.
And there, hey, I'm sorry. Here's my secret. I'm starting to learn what are known as no prep games. Yes.
What
you don't need
witchcraft
a GM
is that?
Or character sheets? I know. That's my cheat. I just break those out and I'm like, oh, look at this wonderful game. I didn't have to do any prep for it.
Oh. But for this week, which game are you teaching us?
So this week, I'm going to actually teach you a game that I spoke about last week called Witch Girl Adventures, which I don't know if a lot of people out there have kids that play tabletop games, but there's always a need for more games that are kid friendly or have a more family like atmosphere or can. Right. Because any GM can turn it to a not very dark place. So I went in search of a couple games. This was back in like October 2018, was looking for family friendly games and games that were really strong in feminine energy and quality, like really portrayed women in what I thought to be a very bright and strong light. So I found this thing called Witch Girl Adventures, which actually comes from a comic series. There's a whole comic book series.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it, just like it sounds, it's about witch girls, as you might imagine. And it's kind of its own take on the mystic teen. So it's very John Hughes-y, you know, lots of drama. And it's interesting because the book is actually written like a movie. So your storyteller or your GM is called the director, and all the witches are called the stars. And you earn points and things by being dramatic and letting that like teenage angst take hold and those weird things that happen in the story. When you're just a teenage girl, you wake up one morning feeling grouchy and then the next morning you're rainbows and sunshine. Like, it's really great. But I love the not only the world that has been built, because 25 like books there are 25.
Wow.
So there's
25?
Like a core book 25. And then they have all these build outs. Like they have a build out for the cyber witch. So if you want like a technologically based witch, you can do that. I think there was a call out for a while because in the world of witch girls, witches are female. So it's like, well, where, how do I want to play a boy. So they've added like immortals. So you can be, which is a very kind of male heavy. And then they have other kin, which are your lycanthropes and your vampires and your fae. So now the world is just huge and you can play all kinds of things in the world of witch girls. So I broke down and bought all 25 PDFs. It's fine because I needed all of it. But you can actually get it in a bundle right now, I think on DriveThru. So you should go check that out. If you want them all,
cool.
I think it only cost me like a buck a piece. So it was like $25 for all 25 of them or something like that. Like,
yep.
It was like a super discount.
That's
but
good.
Yeah, so but the game is a pretty standard tabletop game. You all play witches and their builds for them known as cliques. Like, what kind of a clique witch are you? And they vary by things like the sorceress, which is very high magic, or you get your rustics, which is more of your alchemical kind of earthy witches. So you pick your clique and it helps kind of define the magic route and the starts of personality for your witch. And then you get all kinds of other things like what skills does she have? Is she a gossip? Is she really good at etiquette? Because in the world of Witch Girls, it's a very old world. So there is this air of kind of boarding school etiquette that comes into play. Actually, the first game I ran of this was all about the 4 days leading up to the Yule Cotillion. And the girls had to have like a dress and they had to have a date. And it was very, very prim and proper. Lots of fun. They had a blast with it. So, you know, these kinds of things that usually define your character. But what I find most interesting about the Witch Girl game in particular is that it is run off of a multi-die system, meaning that your base die is never the same. So, for example, instead of always rolling a D20 and adding a modifier, you have your skill modifiers in place and your skills are based on, well, maybe my mind skill is a D8, but my body skill is a D6. So you actually have dice numbers assigned based on that actually being the thing that tells you how powerful or how strong a skill is, which is very, very interesting. And it allows you to use things like your D12, which never gets touched in D&D. Best guy ever, and it never gets touched in D&D unless you're playing a barbarian.
Witch Bolt.
Yeah.
Witch Bolt. There you go.
Witch Bolt.
And how many of us cast Witch Bolt?
Yeah. Joe does all the time.
The druid.
I love Witch Bolt. My favorite spell from our warlock.
Right? But like, I never get to use my D12. So that's part of the really cool system that the piece that I really love about it. And then, of course, you have just a slew of spells to choose from. Now, the game really encourages you to make up your own spells, which is really cool. And I'm actually, for this next campaign I'm going to run of it, that's a little bit more extended. As the girls mature and use their magic more, I'm going to encourage them to start developing their own spells and not just kind of using what they've been quote unquote taught at school. So that's a lot of fun too. So yeah, these are, I don't know. It's a very simple game. I'm all about little mechanics, and mechanics not really getting in the way. But I think what really, for me, made Witch Girls unique is the setting and the world. I had mentioned that to you earlier about it being really deeply rooted in the actual history. They call people mundanes. If you're mortal, you're a mundane, or mundania. And mundania, after the Second World War, they wiped all of Mundania's mind of witches and immortals and werewolves and these kinds of things. So it's really interesting to see how it lines up with actual history, and how you kind of play that fine line between the witch world and the Mundania world.
That is so cool.
Is so cool.
It's just so much fun. Like, I cannot tell you how much fun it is. Things like the like I said, the world building is just so rich. So rich. Like, obviously brooms are a thing, but broom riding. So there's no like Quidditch or any of that business. It's about broom riding, and it's like the hip sport in witches because it takes a lot of finesse and body and strength to like control these brooms. And so broom riding is like the thing that is like the sport, which is really neat. There's lots of prompts. They have like all like the school I'm using is coming straight from the content because I like to show off like what's been written. So ours is called Willow Mist, and they have like all the professors. So as a GM, all my professors and their stats are already in the core book. Like, I don't even need all 24 others to play the game, which is also really nice. Like, they have just all kinds of fun stuff. There are these really interesting rules. Like, you're not allowed to make your magic known on a mass scale, right? There's a whole political system that's laid out in the book about, like, the witch's world order and how that breaks down into, you know, the Coven of 13, which are basically like your ruling witches who make law. And then you've got the like FBI kind of witch that goes around and makes sure that witches are doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, just so cool. But if you are a Harry Potter fan, don't fret. They have also included in the books their own take on that called Larry Spotter.
Oh, wow.
What is the whole title of the book? It's brilliant. It's like a whole parody. I laughed so hard because it came in the big pack. I didn't even know it was a thing. Let me see if I can't find that. Because the whole title had me at my knees the first time I read through it. It was called Larry Spotter and the something of something. The Larry Spotter and the... Oh, what was it? I gotta know now. Oh, here it is. Larry Spotter and the Secret Supplement. Yes. Oh, and wow. That's the humor throughout all of the books. It's just this whole, like, almost like nod to it, but also this very innocent, like, teenage, like, angst. It's just wonderful. And being a, you know, 30-year-old woman, it's kind of nice to play a teenage girl again. And be like, the worst I got to worry about is, like, do my shoes match my skirt? And, like, did I make it curfew?
Oh.
Escapism at its finest.
At its finest. Larry.
Larry Spotter and the Secret Supplement.
Wow.
I actually think we're going to go use that. They're going to go visit that school, because it all takes place at, like, a school. I think we're going to go visit and make fun of some Larry Spotter. Yeah.
Yes, please.
That needs to happen.
Like a field trip or something.
A field trip. Because
they're in an all-girls school, so who knows? Or maybe, ooh, broom competition. Oh, I can see it now.
There you go.
They have to go up against, I wonder what the school's called. I haven't even cracked that open because I was like, now I'm going to have to run a parody Larry Spotter game. Like, the moment I crack this, now I'm going to have to run another one.
That would be so much fun. Mm-hmm. Just straight over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I guess question back at you. What do you have questions about the game? Because, like I said, it's a very simple dice-based system, but, like.
Right. So you mentioned that it's minimal mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Can you define minimal mechanics?
I sure can. So there are 6 base skills. They're literally that simple, I believe. I had a character sheet here I was going to pull up. But so it's basically like 6 base things, which are your mind, your will, your senses. These kind of like core base things we all know from pretty much all tabletop games. And one of them is social and magic. Those are... Yeah, that's it. And magic, of course, is like your base die roll for any magic you attempt to cast. So that's really it. So that's like the start. And then you start getting these other things, which are additional skills. These are things like, I want to be good at computers. And what I really love is that they separate it. And it's just a list. It doesn't give you all these details about what it has to be or what it includes. It's simply like, here's a list of some suggestions. Here is a list of some skills you may have. If you want to build your witch girl the way you want to build her and you want one of her skill sets to be basket weaving, well, write it down. Because it's not about the mechanic, right? It's just about having that thing there. So for me, and when I look at a lot of games that have low mechanics, it also means that they're giving you experience based on story and how you tell story. So actually in Witch Girls, they have something called Voo Dollars. No experience points. It's called Voo Dollars. They actually have like pictures of them. 1, 2, 3. And you gain Voo Dollars by doing things like cosplaying at the table. You gain Voo Dollars by having really dramatic moments. You gain Voo Dollars, of course, by doing your basic things like solving the puzzle, killing the thing, whatever comes up, but it rewards you based on telling story and adding to that dramatic moment. Because again, it is almost meta in the fact we call you a director and a star, and then you play a character of a witch. And so the Voo Dollars are what you actually get to exchange for leveling things up, quote unquote, even there's not a leveling system. That's another way that I define a low mechanic system. If there are no levels, you just continue to add to the base skills that you set. There's no like, oh, level 2, so now I get a new thing. No, you've kind of picked what you want, and maybe there's a point where you can change it out, but more often than not, you've picked your base. Now you're just adding points to things, which is way easier than having to go back and check what I get at a level 4 versus a level 5.
That really is. Yeah. That makes a big difference in a game, I feel like. And from what we've learned of systems we've learned in the past, that seems to be anything outside of D&D and kind of the core tabletop, all the story-based systems are very much, this is your character, and anything beyond that is just building it up.
Right. Yeah, you're just going to get better. You know, as a GM, I allow my characters after, depending on the size of the campaign. In this case, we're going to run an eight session campaign. So occasionally I'll say, okay, by episode 3, which is about a third, give or take, way through, this is the point of no return. So anything that you want to change or you want to do differently has to be done by this point.
Right.
So it gives them a chance to like, okay, I played this character how I thought I wanted to, but it didn't quite work. And a light rule system allows for quick change to happen like that. So in the case of Witch Girls, it's like, I thought I wanted to be divination, but I really think I want to be alteration. So you change over to alteration magic, and it's just, you just don't flip a die. You don't go to a chart. You just change the word on your page and reference different spells. Like, it's that simple. And I think for a lot of people, these very heavy rule set books can be intimidating when you're first coming into roleplay. I remember jumping into 3.5 the first time I made a character, and I was like, damn, it took me like 2 hours. I didn't even get to play. I just made a character. How long did it take? You know, and it's like, because you're still trying to wrap your mind around it. And so these very, what I call low entry games, like these low barrier to entry games are really, they're really key in the market right now, because you have this influx, I feel like, of people that want to play games like Witch Girls that are, they're not hard to digest. They're not terribly dark. I'm not asking you to go out and kill anybody, technically. There are 1,000 ways you can handle things without killing people in Witch Girls. Because you're a bunch of high schoolers. You don't want a bunch of high school girls out there murdering people. This is not Heathers. So, like, you know, it's also a different way of thinking. And so, you know, I really love the low barrier to entry game because it just allows more people access to tabletop games that doesn't just necessarily have to be Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you were talking about the different die, and like each skill has its own die. Is that based on the skill? Is that based on how you create your character? Like, how does that work?
So that starts actually at the base level, starts with the click that you choose. So if you're a sorceress, for example, I'm just going to try to pull it up and show you. So like they call these your attributes: body, mind, magic, right? So here they are. So you have outsider, right, which is somebody that's lived mostly in the mundane world for most of their life. And then you've got the rustic, which we talked about is kind of these, they usually come from small towns, villages, they live off the land. Your sorceress, which is the most magic of all. These are witches that are just so innately magical. You have your goth, of course, your gothic witch, because you got to have your dark witch. And then you have what's known as the insider witch. And this is the witch that kind of flip-flops very easily between mundane and magic world. They live equally in both places. Maybe they have a parent or something like that. So these are kind of the base six. And depending upon which one you choose, it gives you your base attributes, because each one of these have kind of a personality set. So your sorceress is going to have a probably D10 die for their magic, where the rest of these, I think, start with D8. That's how they separate them. Most witches start somewhere between a D6 and a D8. You know, but let's see. And then it basically tells you the ones that are necessary and then gives you the other ones openly. So, for example, let's say I choose a gothic one, right? My magic D8 is a D8. Done. Then it lists me my other 5 die. I have a D4, 2 D6s, and 2 D8s to distribute however I see fit on my character, how I build it. The insider is a little different. No, that one's exactly the same. Which one is different? It's the this one. So like outsider here says you get your magic's D8. Like I said, that's kind of your base. But your other attributes this time, instead of a D4, you get 3 D6s and 2 D8s to distribute how you see fit.
Okay.
Yep. That's where really your sorceress may get a D10 as her magic die, but you get 2 D4, 2 D6, and 1 D8. So it balances it this way, where it's like, okay, you may be very magical, but you probably don't have a high body score. Your D4 will, or D6 may end up being right. That. So it balances that way. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it kind of gives you this pool of varying die. And it says you have more sides on this die, therefore you have more chance of rolling higher. Where do you want to put this on your skill?
And then do those die end up changing as you go through?
Yep. You can exchange your voodoo dollars to up a die. So at a certain point, I think it's like 50 voodoo dollars. When you earn 50 voodoo dollars, you can say, well, I would actually like to take my D6 now up to a D8.
Cool.
And then you also have, and then you have that other list of skills that we talked about, like computers, technology, etiquette. Mm-hmm. And those can also add just like base pluses. So it's like, okay, D8, but I'm casting magic divination and I have a skill set in divination and it's a +2. So now it's a D8 +2. I can also up my skill as well. So I may want to always keep it as a D8, but I may want my skill to go up to 4 versus 2. So that's the other kind of cool thing, is there's no right way to build a character in Witch Girls, which I think is really interesting. It's more about how you choose to vary, like distribute it. How do you want your Witch Girl built? And that's also another way that it kind of comes off heavy rule set. It's like, I'm not going to tell you how to do it. Here's like a, here's your bullets, exchange them how you see fit, you know, like you do you. So that's really nice as well. And, oh, I forgot. This was something I really loved. The initial character sheet only has slots for 5 spells. So they really encourage you to pick what they call special. These are your specialization spells. These are the spells you use most often. What are those spells that, like, your character, Witchbolt, constantly pulls? Like, don't even have to think about. Because technically a witch is learning all these spells at school. Even if she's not a divination witch, she still has to take a divination class, right? Mm-hmm. So you're learning all these spells. You can cast anything you want. As if it's your wizard's book, basically. But the game encourages you to keep your nose out of the book. So what are these 5 that you just, you know? You can do them with your eyes closed, right? These are the things that, like, your witch pulls from. I remember I played a mean girl character, Princess Lucinda Nightbane, when we did our first one. And Princess Lucinda Nightbane's a total meanie. And she's an alteration witch. And she has a spell. It's her favorite spell. When she's done listening to everybody, all the witches below her talk, she closes their mouth up. She stitches their mouth closed. And so it's like the spell she always used, which is like, oh, I'm sorry. I can't hear what you said. You know, just like super mean girl. Ooh. And I love that because you have your spells also give a level of personality to your character when you have to pick that like core 5. It's just it's a really neat little system. And it's built like for teenagers to use. I want to think it says like 10 plus or something like that on the book. Wow. So it is written for kids, yeah. Which means that hopefully I as an adult can manage to read it and regurgitate it well enough. So it's a low barrier to entry game. It's so much fun. And it constantly has me in stitches. Like I'll read something, have missed it the first time, and they'll have named some like superstar witch, some ridiculous name that's like a pun. And it gets me. It gets me every time. And so, you know, that's what I look for in games. The games that can make me laugh before I ever start playing with my characters, like, or with my players. Like, if you can make me laugh just from the page, like, I gotta play that game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Just everything about this. It's just so much fun and it's lighthearted with being whatever it is you want it to be.
Yeah, whatever it is. So just, it's just ridiculous. It's so great. I love it.
That's really cool. Yeah. All right. So one last question for you.
Ooh.
What is your favorite aspect of this system?
Ooh. I know what my favorite aspect of the system is. There are no opposing roles.
Ooh.
I love that. So let's say that I want to cast a spell against someone. Lucinda Nightbane is going to stitch somebody's mouth closed. She rolls her magic die plus her alteration bonus, whatever it is, and then any additional things she may get. Right, as the director calls it. That number, so let's say she rolls with her D8 and blah, blah, it's 12.
Right.
That number is not going to go against another witch's roll. She's not going to get to roll. Each witch has a base level number that is set based on varying things, like what click you choose and these kinds of things. That is how much magic you can withstand before you are affected by it. So it's just a number. So if your number is 13 and I rolled 12, that magic doesn't affect you.
Ooh.
But a lot more powerful witches will have a much higher threshold, magic threshold, literally. So you may have an 18 that's like set at the top, and I cast and Lucinda Nightbane only rolled a 12. Well, it doesn't take. But if your threshold's only 8, like most mundanes are, it doesn't take very much. So I like the fact that it's not, it never pins rolls against one another, because I find that leaves a lot to chance. And this game says, no, you are this resistant against magic. I think that's actually what it's called, is your magic resistance.
Yeah.
Your magic resist and whatever that number is. And I think that there's something really interesting about that, because it's like, we're all playing witch girls. They're all super magical. Like, I shouldn't have to roll to fight against your magic. Like, I'm either immune to it at a certain level or I'm not.
Right.
And and I can spend more voodoo dollars to up my magic resistance over time, you know. So
I really like that. It's all an AC hit, basically.
Yep, right. It's just like an AC hit, and there's just no roll against it. And I dig that a lot, because I think it speeds up gameplay a lot, and it doesn't pin your characters against one another or leave a lot to chance. It just says, this is the character I've built. In reality, not everything in life is left to chance. Like, it's not. There's not a chance whether or not I've got a clean pair of pants in that drawer. Like, I'm not rolling against my drawer for pants in the morning, right? Right. Or I'm not rolling to pull the milk out of the fridge. Like, some things just are easy. And, you know, it's a game that the way the system is built, I think it really encompasses that. And because it is made for a younger audience, it's one less thing to have to think about doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's cool from the opposite perspective too, as a witch girl character star person, I know what my threshold is.
Yep.
And I know that it's not to go up against Lucinda.
Right.
Because no.
Right. Mm-hmm. You may go up against a girl down the hall, but you're not going to go up against Princess Lucinda Nightbane, who's a sorceress.
Right.
But it's also a role play thing. You know, I've said this over and over. I'm all about story. And anything that's going to stop my story is too much. That's literally how I look at game mechanics. Mm-hmm. If it's going to slow my story, it's too much.
Yeah.
So in this case, you like you said, I know my magic threshold. Therefore, when Lucinda Nightbane rolled a 12 and I got a 14, I don't need to look at my director.
Yeah.
To continue telling story. I can simply go, you know, you're trying to cast magic on me, Lucinda, and right back into role play. And that keeps that story pace going. It keeps moments honest and genuine. And it gives a lot of autonomy to the player, which I think sometimes a lot of games can take and give to the GM.
Mm-hmm.
And this game gives a lot of autonomy to the player. And I really dig that.
Wow.
I love it. I'm really liking the system.
Yeah, me too.
Should play it. Witch Girl Adventures. Go check it out. I'm literally, I think, $25 right now on DriveThruRPG. You can get all of the books. Oh my God. One of the books comes as a magazine. It's like a teen magazine. And it's got like health potion stuff in it and like love potion. It's so cute. It's extra content, but it comes as a little magazine.
Oh, that's and like, awesome. Amazing.
Most of the books have comics right before it. So you get like a tiny little comic before all of them that like totally like imbues the style of all the witch girls. It's just all the heart hands
for
all of you at home. It's like all the heart hands for real.
Very nice.
So nice. Well, thank you again for joining us yet again and talking about this super awesome system. If people have questions about Witch Girls, other systems, or all the cool things that you are up to, where can they find you and all that stuff?
Yep, you can find me online as Little Red Dot on all the social media. And if you want to find out more about Witch Girl Adventures, they have their own Twitter page. The game itself has a Twitter page, so you can go check that out. I can't exactly remember what the handle is, but I think it's WG Adventures. Either way, you can type it in and search it. It'll come up. The same thing on DriveThruRPG. The comics are sold there too, so don't get confused between the comics and the books. You have to do a little searching, but you'll see it. There's a Witch Girl Adventures bundle. So you get all the PDFs all PDFs that are currently published for $25. It's great. And then I think they actually have a bundle too where you can get the hard copy and all 25 PDFs as well. And I think that one's like less than 50. So it's well worth it if you like hard copy books like I do. So I love the system. I have been chatting with the writer for a while. Good person. Just great. All around great stuff. I love it. I love the system. And you can check me out on my channel. So twitch.tv/little_red_dot, where we start up in April with a campaign, full-on campaign, 8 episodes of Witch Girl Adventures. So if you want to just see this game firsthand, come check us out. I've got a killer cast. So 4 of my girls are coming back from the initial mini campaign. I've got a new player coming in and she's amazing. I don't know if you guys know Kika VO, but just wonderful human. And I'm so excited to have her at the table. She's going to bring such teenage sass. I just know it. So you'll definitely want to tune in for that one. And if you can't make the live stream, you can always check it out. I've been amping up my YouTube and all my VODs go over there. So you can also find me as Little Red Dot on YouTube as well.
Much appreciated.
Cool. So much appreciated. If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast or check out our website, mageproductions.com.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review, go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors. First off, Hit dice. Check them out at hitdicepod.com and on Twitter at hitdicepod.
Also, Kraken Dice. If you're looking for some awesome new dice, you don't have to look any further. Just go check them out, krakendice.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at krakendice. And then when you find your dice that you have to have, use the code MAGE and get yourself 10% off, because who doesn't like 10% off?
And of course, last but not least, sonerdwear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at sonerdwear. They've really stepped up the entire game for us. They now host all of our swag, so you can get t-shirts, stickers, mugs, cups. So you can go to sonerdwear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything, and you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order. Anything else?
I don't know. I think we actually got it all that time.
It helps when you write things down.
It does.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.